And we're going to look at chapter 5. And what I'm going to do is take every verse in the scriptures that deal with overcoming, and so on. All right? And so, now there are verses that in the Old Testament about someone being overcome. I'm not talking about, the verse that deal with overcoming as a Christian, also as a false profession, so on. So notice, if you would, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 1. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the preaching this morning and for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the fine lunch that was prepared by the ladies. And Father, we just pray that you'd meet our needs this afternoon. We ask you, Lord, to give us insight and wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Father, you lead us to believe right and to do right. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now notice, if you will, in verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right, so there's the term born of God, or born again, or begotten of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begotten loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this is faith in Christ. This is faith in Christ. This is not another faith, but our faith that is in Jesus Christ. And that automatically makes us an overcomer. And then verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Thank you. May be seated. Now, the Bible teaches that saved people are called overcomers. And the idea of a worldly Christian is just not found in the Bible. My wife was listening to a sermon on the radio up in North Dakota, and the title of the message was, "Why Are Christians Going Back to the World?" Well, here's what I would say. They're lost. That's why. It's not because they're saved, they just got a little away from Jesus. They're lost. When they go back to the world, they're going back to the very thing that they were supposedly repented of. So stay with me, if you would, on our study this afternoon. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, the Bible says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, this is a commandment to the Christian. This is to God's children. And because the Lord has sealed us with his Spirit, we have the ability to overcome. Now, here's what happens when we have sin in our life. All right, so stay with me. So I wake up one day, I'm running around, I haven't prayed, haven't read my Bible. And so maybe it's towards evening, and I really kind of didn't take care of that like I should have. Well, I've sinned. It's a sin not to pray. It's a sin not to read the scriptures. So what I do is, you know, I don't confess it, but because I'm sealed with the Spirit of God, Hebrews chapter 12 kicks in, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And we're all partakers of his chastisement if we're truly converted to Christ. And so God kicks in chastisement, and we come under conviction. God speaks to our heart and so on, and hopefully we make it right. If a person persists in the desire to be in the world, be of the world and so on, that is a sure sign that they're not a true convert of Christ. So this is important to comprehend. Now, overcometh, this means to conquer, to win, to be victorious. And we are not to be overcome by sin, but rather we're to overcome sin. So this is important to understand. That's what God's people. Now, there are times that we allow sin in our lives. We understand that. But it doesn't take us away. It doesn't destroy us. Why? Because we're overcomers. Because of the sealing of the Spirit, the work of chastisement, God speak to our heart, we're going to make those things right. So, now, why is this possible? Jesus said to us in John 16, verse 33, our Lord was victorious over the world. And notice, if you would, let's go back there to John chapter 16, verse 33, please. So, Jesus is finishing his work of his discourse on, the Spirit of God working our lives, coming, and so on. He's going to have to depart, but he's going to send a comforter. So the Lord says here in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have what? Amen. He overcome the world. And because we are in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You with me? So because we're in Christ, he conquered the world. Guess what I'm going to do as a child of God? You have to guess. All right. So the idea is I'm going to conquer the world, right? We're imitating the life of Christ. So our Lord was victorious over this world. He never broke the law. He never transgressed the law. He never sinned, tempted by the devil. Our Lord never sinned against God the Father. He had the ability to overcome the world. And Jesus said this in Revelation 17:14, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Again, he makes that statement. Now, those of you who are drawn to the world, you're revealing your heart's condition. And that's why it's so important to be saved when you can. Be saved early. I'm not talking about, a childhood profession. I'm talking about in your teenage years, your 20s. Be saved. Because sin will get a hold of you. You listen to the devil's music, whether it's rock and roll, hip-hop, a country western. What does it do? It's a false philosophy. It goes back to this morning about the vanity of your minds. It'll take your heart away from being saved. And that's why it's the devil speaking. I'm telling you, I am so convinced about this, that the people today, and I'm talking about even yesterday, back to the 60s, the 50s, a lot of people sold their souls to the devil. And so they're used as mediums to speak to us in such a way to draw our hearts away from God. Now, number one, the Bible tells, and this is back in chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, overcoming begins with a spiritual birth. You're not going to be able to overcome if you're not saved. That's all there is to it. You are not going to be able to overcome. This is the key. And if you don't get this right, you'll not be an overcomer. So what saith the Lord? Well, let's go through these first five verses, and let's look at some verses here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So the key word right here is believeth. And that means to put trust in, to have faith in, to respect to a person. So there are some people who say, well, I believe in Jesus. It's not that. You have to come and personally receive Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a relationship there. I was telling someone during the break that when Jesus, had spoken in John 6, Peter said that he had been born again by the word of God. That's what he says in one of his epistles. But the idea was this. Jesus said, will you also leave me? And Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the what? The words. The words. They deal with eternal life. You had the Word. He was born again by the Word of God. Peter speaks about that in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice he tells us here. Let me see here. All right. Notice verse 22. Seeing you are purifying your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it's the new birth takes place when we receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. So you got to come to a place where you hear the word, you believe it, you trust it, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, that's what the Bible teaches. So the first one is you've got to believe. It's not just saying, oh, I believe in God. It's more than that. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. It's believing, trusting in a person. And second of all, we see the verse speaks about believing and continual belief. There's no such thing as I used to believe. No such thing. This is in what tense it's in. Anyway, but it's speaking about continuing. There's no such thing as I used to believe. The idea of being begotten of him speaks of a new birth, being born again. Then notice verse 2, and notice he says, "For by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Notice he says, "By this we know." Now the Bible's very clear that salvation is not a hope so or maybe so, it's a no so. It's a no so salvation. And so by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now notice 1 John, if you would, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go through this. You say, well, you've done this before, preacher. Repetition is a good teacher. So chapter 2 and verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a what? And the truth is not what? In him. So that's a false professor. A person who says, but they don't do. John mentions that here in chapter 1, verse 6. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Verse 8. And we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. In verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, the word. You have to be born again by the word. So notice, if you would, verse 5. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So the idea, and let's go to chapter 3, please, and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he that abideth in us by what? The Spirit which he has given us. So we were given the Spirit after we were born again by the Word of God. After receiving Christ, receiving the engrafted Word, was able to save your soul. Now, you may say, oh, I didn't know all that when I got saved. I understand. I didn't know a lot of it. But this was the transaction that took place. I did believe His Word. I did receive His Son. I did repent. I did have faith. I didn't understand it all then, but that's what I did. And so it's important that we break it down now that we're a little bit older in the Lord. And so we find here, again, the idea that if you are walking in darkness, you're not a saved person. Now, what's walking in darkness? It's not following the Word of God. That's darkness. That's the vanity of your mind, the emptiness. And then notice chapter 4, please, verse 13. The Bible says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So this is important that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And why? Because the Spirit gives us all knowledge. He leads us. He guides us. He seals us, of course. And then he leads us. He guides us. He guides our steps. We're going to be led by the Spirit. All these different things. And then notice the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 2 of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 2, we see we keep His commandments. And this is important that we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, I have to tell you that people who, you know, bellyache, I wish there was a better word, you have to follow the Bible. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. They're full of baloney. They're not under grace. Here's why. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, shall we continue in grace? Shall we continue in sin? I knew there's something wrong there. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So we're not to continue in sin so grace abounds. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? Why? We're going to be following His words. You say, well, that's speaking of the Old Testament. No. It's speaking about the New Testament. There are a lot of commandments in the New Testament. A lot of commandments. It is one. I give you a new commandment, that we're to love one another. Jesus said the greatest commandment in all the world is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why? If you're born of God, you will. Love, 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 love. The Bible teaches. And if you've been saved by God's grace, the Spirit of God has shed abroad in your hearts love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what the Bible teaches. And people who are religious are not going to love like they ought to. So this is very important. Again, God's commandments are not grievous. People who argue with the Word of God, there's something wrong with their souls. Something's wrong with their heart. The Bible says that settles it. Amen? It's not whether I agree. It settles it. What we need to do is get on board and follow it. Notice verse 4, please. God says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's what God says. If you're born of God, what are you going to do? You're going to overcome the world. You're not going to love this world, neither things are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the idea of a worldly Christian, as I say, a saved devil. Do you not see that? Saved devil. I mean, it's impossible. So he goes on and says in verse 4, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, what kind of faith do you need, priest? That's all my saving faith there. Saving faith. If you exercise saving faith, you're not going to be in the world. You're not going to want the world. You know, the Puritans, and there were a lot of lost Puritans, but those who were saved, they may not have the church on straight. They may not have prophecy on straight. But one thing about their salvation, they lived the Christian life. They were very obedient to God. They believed in mortification of our sins, our bodies. So that's one thing. They lived a Christian life. So, you know, the key is, you know, you may be off doctrinally, but the thing is, do you have the Lord? Is He your Lord and Savior? Do you live the Christian life? And then notice, if you would, verse 5. The Bible says, who is he that overcome the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And again, I believe that as a lost Roman Catholic, but I didn't trust the Lord. I didn't have faith in the Lord in the sense of Him saving me. That's what John is saying here. It's not just believing. Well, you know, all Roman Catholics are saints because they believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's more than that. It's trust. It's belief. It's receiving. That's what God is speaking about here. So we have to believe. That word encompasses repentance and faith. The idea of believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's like when the Bible says, Acts 16, I'm not sure, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That encompasses repentance and faith. It's not just believe, but just believe, brother. It encompasses these words, repentance and faith. You got to put your personal faith in Christ. You got to repent of your sins. That's what the Bible says. So we find here in verse 4, the overcomer has victories. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, have I overcome the world perfectly? No, there's a thing called sanctification, a growing in the Lord. Peter said it, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I first got saved, I mean, the next night I went into a bar. So Wednesday night, I didn't know any better. I used to go to the bar all the time. And I ordered a beer, but something told me, don't partake. I couldn't tell you at that time, it was the Holy Spirit of God sanctifying me. But that's what happened. So I think I took a sip, I don't know. But I got out of there. I said, I don't belong here. So I went home. I saw Dave Wellman, who went to church. I wish he would have invited me to church. And he said, Christians don't drink. I said, I didn't know that. But because I was born of the Word, I did what the Bible said. So the next thing in my life was, whittling down my rock and roll. I got saved in September. By March, I was done with rock and roll. The first thing was I brought it down to just, I got rid of heavy music or metal, whatever the thing is. No Led Zeppelin, none of that stuff. I know I'm dating myself, but that's the way it is. But those were demonic groups. And then I just whittled down to just certain albums. And God spoke to my heart again, not good enough. It was like Giddings' Army. It just kept whittling down. And finally it came down. I had a tape I recorded love songs on. Didn't know I was romantic, did you? And then finally God was speaking to me about this. And I just threw the thing out. It's a stupid thing. So the idea is that we're not to be of the world. We're not to be in the world. We're not to be of the world. This is our sanctification. This is our, leaving the world, drawing nigh to Christ. Leaving the world, drawing nigh to Christ. God had to work this out of me. Just like He's done with you. And so this is very important. And so we find here that the overcomer has victories. He has victories over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now notice, if you would, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have, what does it say there? Overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So what's He saying here? Well, there's little children, there's young men, and their fathers. This is all spiritual growth. This is becoming what God wants you to be. And, the Bible says, as young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. That's the devil. And then he goes on and says here, I've written unto you, Father, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome, here it is, the wicked one. So God says the Word of God abides. That's why it's so important. Get your Bible open. Follow or read the Bible. Let God speak to your heart. Do God's will for your life. If you're out of the Word, you're not going to be right with God. So notice, if you would, chapter 4 of the same book, chapter 4 and verse 4, again, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because great is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Well, let's go back to chapter 4 and verse 3. "Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." So John is writing to fight against the Gnostics. And they didn't believe right about who God was. It was all spurious. And so, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. "Ye are God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because you are born of the Word. That's very important to comprehend. There's a new birth. That's why we want to read the Bible. That's why we want to follow the Word of God. That's why we believe in doctrine. "And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And then the Bible says in verse 5, "And they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world heareth them." You know, it's a funny thing. People who come to church, they watch their P's and Q's. Well, that means, well, that's what they do. But it's funny when people get away from the church, when they're not on the sound of preaching. You know, they will use a swear word. They'll take God's name in vain. Why? Because they're in the world and they're of the world. Then goes on and says in verse 6, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So again, we list all the different verses that we bring out concerning overcoming. And so there's victory for us. Notice chapter 12 and verse 11 in Revelation. Revelation, remember, it's not revelations. It's Revelation. And notice verse 11. And the Bible is speaking here of the devil. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." This is what happened. You get saved. You've been set free from your sin. You overcome overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Our testimonies are powerful. When you got saved, how you got saved, and that you're living the life that God's called you to live. "And they love not their lives unto death." And this goes right along with Romans 6:22, being made free from sin. You become servants of God, your fruit unto holiness, the end everlasting life. So we have overcome the devil. This is another place. You say, "Oh, the devil's after me, the devil, you know, so on." You know, the devil's snivel. Now, can he cause confusion? Yes. Does he cause our lust to war against our soul? Yes. Does he I mentioned confusion. Does he work again? Can he hinder us? Yes. But that's it. "The greatest he that is in me than he that is in the world." We are more than conquerors. Now, I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about conquerors. We're more than conquerors. "Nothing shall separate us from the love of God." Nothing. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, the overcomer has victories. And notice the flesh. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So we've seen the devil. We've seen the world, that we have victory over the world. And then Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Notice he says in verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's what God's called us to do. Love one another. It's so important, beloved, that we love one another. You say, "Well, what if someone turns out and they say something mean or whatever?" What a love. If you weren't here for Sunday school, pick up that CD. It was good. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But If you bite, devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's the flesh, beloved. That's the flesh. Now notice verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Of the flesh. You're going to, there's another word, overcome. I'll never forget, there was a preacher one time who preached on success in a sentence. It was when I got saved, I think the second missions conference we had. What a great message. And he said this, he said, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're under control of the Spirit, nothing is going to take you out of Spirit unless you want it to. Let that sink in your soul. Nothing. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see the flesh, the devil, and the world, and we're overcomers in all these. I want you to focus on the last thought. The overcomer may have different victories. And I'm not saying different types, but many different victories. I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 2. We'll be here for just a bit, and then we'll close. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And these things are all said to the churches of Asia Minor. And so the first one is found in verse 7 of chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now look, I perk up. Oh, this is what the Spirit says? I want to listen to what he has to say. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So let's do a little reverse here. What if he doesn't overcome? I'm not talking about one time, but he's not an overcomer. Well, guess what? That person's not going to be eating in the midst of the paradise of God. That's what it means. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So what if a person doesn't overcome? They're in deep weeds. They're in deep weeds. Why? Because they will be hurt in the second death. Verse 17. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of a hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So what does that mean? Well, God promises if we're an overcomer, we're going to have certain privileges. But what if a person is not an overcomer? They don't experience this. They're not a partake of this. And then notice, if you would, verse 26. And he that overcometh, that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over all nations. So the idea is, you say, well, do I have to hang on? No. Salvation is given to all. But because we have salvation, we are going to be people who are going to keep the truth, keep the faith. We're going to cling to it. We're going to believe it. You know, I'm 41 years down the road. You know, I'm more determined now to keep the faith than I've ever been. I believe it. I believe the Word of God. I believe, you know, the rapture of the saints is coming. I believe that. And we're too far down the road to quit and throw in the towel. Notice chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So what if a person doesn't overcome? Well, the confession before the Father is out, and the name, the blotting of the name of the book of life is real. They lose their salvation. They never had it. They believed in vain. Notice verse 21. Verse 21. And the Bible says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So what happened? Jesus overcame. I'm in Christ. I'm to overcome. They say, preacher, what if you mess up? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have one more verse here. Let's go to chapter 21 and verse 7. You enjoy this? Amen. Chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What if you don't overcome? You're not going to inherit all things. See, that's what we are. God's people are overcomers. Now, a lot of preachers would have an issue with this teaching. I know they would. But did I say anything outside the Word of God? I mean, I know I gave my own commentary, but what did I say? I read verse after verse after verse. I read all the verses in the New Testament on overcoming. So the question is today, are you an overcomer? Are you forgiven? If you have overcome, that's great. Be more of an overcomer. Do God's will. You say, preacher, I haven't. I've been overcome. Now, you can put the blame everywhere, but the question you have to ask, if you don't have the right foundation, doesn't matter. You build that house or try to build it, it's going to wind up being crooked. It's going to wind up falling down. Why? Because you don't have the right foundation. That's so important. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, and help us, Lord, to do your will. In this invitation, we pray that you be glorified, and help us, Father, to continue to strive to be overcomers for the glory and honor of Christ. And those who have never overcome, I pray that they would. I pray they come to be born again by the Spirit of God, to be begotten from above. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no looking around. Let's stay.